flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Y'all know the story. I've told it right here on this station and anywhere that I'm chatting a million times. You know, the story of how right here at our Good Neighbor station, Chad Hartman was an advocate for me to have my own show, to be paid what I was worth. And having that white coworker go into the offices of the bosses who were here at the time and speak up for me on my behalf made a difference in my career. I may actually still have been an overnight weekend producer working 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. on the weekends and filling in from time to time had he not spoken up and spoken out for me. So, you know, being on vacation, I'm hanging out, reflecting on the year and, you know, thinking about friends and family and folks like Chad Hartman who have, you know, absolutely been a blessing and changed my life. And I'm looking at my cousin Demetria's Instagram feed. And she's got a report from a Harvard University professor that revealed that Black women working with majority teams face challenges with promotion and retention. It's a brand new report. It says Black women in white workplaces are more likely to be considered low performers, no matter how well we do. So I said, okay, wait a minute. See, I've got to figure out how I can get this Harvard University professor to come on here and talk about this brand new study. So, you know what I did? I called Harvard University and I have Dr. Elizabeth Linos joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline. Dr. Linos, thank you so much for taking the time during a holiday weekend to be a part of my show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Shaletta. It's a pleasure.
And it was a pleasure to chat with you by phone after we exchanged emails back and forth. This study is fascinating. Talk to us about this new report that suggests that Black women are more likely to face significant challenges when working with mostly white teams.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Shaletta. So this is a new study that I've co-authored with two other professors, Dr. Sana Mobasseri at BU and Dr. Nina Rossi at MIT. And essentially what we look at are the experiences of over 9,000 new hires in a high-wage elite firm. And we look at how kind of careers and experiences at work are different by race and gender. And we find a couple of things that I think are important to document, even if they might not be surprising. First, we see a really large gap in turnover and promotion. So Black employees are 32% more likely to leave within the first 2 years, 26% less likely to be promoted on time than their white counterparts. And as you said, when we zoom in and look at kind of what's the effect of your coworkers on your career trajectories, we see this really important thing. Having more white coworkers early in your career increases the likelihood that you're going to leave if you are a black woman and reduces the likelihood that you're going to get promoted. The more white coworkers you have early on, the worse the outcomes when it comes to retention and promotion at that specific firm.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry. My internet cut out a bit. I'm in my family's RV broadcasting from Houston. But, you know, one of the things that fascinated me most about this study is that, you know, you analyze this from 2014 to 2020. So this is not something, Dr. Linos, that you all went and talked to a few people and made your conclusion. You all have been studying this for some time.
That's exactly right. Even just to get the data and analyze it. And we did, you know, a lot of qualitative interviews as well with employees of color and white employees in the firm. You know, the process to get to even this point to document these facts, you know, has taken already around 4 to 5 years. And you're right that we're following people over time. So we're looking at people who started earlier in their career, and then we can see, you know, what happens 2 years later, what happens at first promotion, what happens at second promotion. So we can really look at the long-term consequences of what happens early in someone's career.
Now, when you compile this data, what surprised you the most?
Oh, that's such a great question. I guess the size of these gaps and the size of the effects, I think, surprised me the most. So, you know, we all know that racism and sexism still exists in America. We know that workplaces haven't fixed the problems of this country. And we also know that Black women face this double disadvantage, both because of their race and gender. But it was really striking to look at just the numbers. So, you know, a 32% higher likelihood of leaving, promotion rates that are much lower, even at firms that are, you know, trying their best to diversify. To me, those effects, those numbers, make me feel like there's so much more work to be done to change the behavior of white people in those firms, as opposed to just thinking this is, you know, a recruitment challenge or a pipeline problem. It's something that's happening in the workplace that needs to change.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, what does need to change? I need to figure out what your thoughts are going forward. And also, I want to hear about the feedback that you are getting since this report was released. Because not only do we have folks sharing it on social media and commenting on it, major publications like Essence Magazine and so many others have also put out stories on it. So it is making the rounds. People are talking about it. So we are going to continue to talk to Dr. Elizabeth Linos from Harvard University when we come back. It is 1249. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. And there is a new report that suggests Black women are more likely to face significant challenges when working with mostly white teams. This did not come from me, honey. This came from Harvard School, a working paper released in November, just last month. This study went on from 2014 to 2020. So we are going to hear from Dr. Elizabeth Linos. She is the Harvard professor that is working on this study. She has the results. She is working on this paper. And I really want to hear, when you put this out, what has been the feedback?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the feedback has been mixed, I should say. It depends, you know, who the audience is. When we first started putting out, you know, the analysis, we got a lot of pushback. Like, are you sure those numbers look big? Like, maybe it's something else. But, you know, we've really been thoughtful in the paper of analyzing the data really well, showing no matter what model you use, no matter what variables you add, the main effect still stands. And so it's a real finding. It's a true finding. So by the time we put out the paper, the feedback shifted a little bit. One thing that I'm really proud of is the way that people have shared this organically in social media and in other ways, like your cousin that you mentioned. And we've gotten a lot of really positive comments, especially from Black women, that say, thank you for putting numbers behind what we already knew. So it's not necessarily a surprising finding for Black women in the workplace. A lot of this resonates because it's something that they've experienced. But there's some value, I think, in having a rigorous study with specific numbers behind it that someone can point to and say, this isn't, you know, this isn't a little microaggression. This isn't in my mind. This is a real finding. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to contribute to that conversation. And as you mentioned before the break, we're also very fortunate that kind of media outlets have also shared this quite widely. So we're really lucky to have that as well.
And this is the thing. This is something Black women have been saying for generations. This isn't something new to us. You know, everybody's clutching pearls and they're, you know, just so shocked that these numbers are so lopsided and they want to question your findings. But, you know, if anybody has a Black girlfriend in corporate America, this is something she's been telling you for years. This is something That's right. You know. This is something that you should have been standing up for. You know, I tell the story all the time. Is I don't know where my career would be without a Chad Hartman who saw the inequity, not just in opportunity, but pay, and said, this isn't right. I had the same experience with Brian Lambert when I was over at another radio station, and he was my co-host, and we were doing the same job. And he wanted to know why he had more benefits than I had and spoke up about it. But if people are quiet and they sit in these boardrooms and they sit in these workplaces and workspaces and say nothing when they know Black women are being paid less, are being passed over for promotions, are being unfairly categorized as low performers, and they just turn a blind eye to it and say, it's not my problem, then guess what? This study is going to be exactly the same, Dr. Linos, when my 10-year-old daughter Cameron enters the workplace.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So where do we go from here? You know, we can't turn away from it. It is a Harvard study. It was conducted over a span of years. You have a doctor in front of your name. You are a PhD. So they're not hearing it from Shaletta Brundage with her little old degree from University of Houston in mass communications. They're hearing this information from you, Dr. Linos. So where do we go from here? I know your findings are calling for more research. What's next?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, as you said, this is kind of a starting point for a lot more work that needs to be done. Just documenting the problem isn't enough. It's a starting point. And, you know, one thing that you already alluded to with some of your coworkers is, I think, where we need to go next. So a lot of firms and companies have, you know, have programs that are really focused on employees of color or Black employees in particular, you know, mentorship programs or networking programs. But what I think we should be doing instead is really focusing on the behavior of the majority group. So how do we change the behavior of white men and women in these firms so that you don't need to have some sort of special program? It's the behavior of the majority group that needs to change in order for some of these gaps to go away. So for me and for my research team, the next step is really rigorously testing different ways of making sure that both managers and white coworkers understand their role and their responsibility in changing what the workplace looks like, not only for Black women, but for Black men as well, and for other employees of color. And I'm hoping that if we continue to be data-driven in that approach and be evidence-based and continue to scientifically test what works and what doesn't work, we can make progress. But it's going to be hard, and we're still at the beginning of that process.
And I'm glad that we are taking a step forward. I'm so grateful that you are doing this research. You have put this data out and that you've made yourself available to chat with me on this show. If folks want to find this information, because I'm getting hit up from some people saying, where's this study? How can I find it? I want to share this. One of the people on my podcasting network, Lambert Fisher, hosts the Diversity Dude podcast. And so he delves into these type of issues each and every week. So he is pinging me like I'm not live on the radio. Like I don't have a job right now that I'm trying to do. He's trying to get the study so he can print it out and go over with a fine tooth comb to discuss it on his show. So how can people find this information?
Yeah, well, that's very kind of you to say. There's a couple different ways. As you know, my email is always available. the study itself has been published as a working paper by the Harvard Kennedy School. So if you go to any Harvard Kennedy School social media or my social media, you should be able to find it. But as you know, I'm always available and excited to talk about research. The only reason research matters is if it's making a difference in people's lives. So it's an honor and a privilege to be able to have this opportunity to talk about it.
Well, you have blessed us. We are breathing a sigh of relief. Black women all over social media are sharing this, and we are feeling seen and heard and validated. And so I want to, if nobody else says it, I want to thank you on behalf of us for the work that you have done.
Thank you so much. It's very kind of you. And thank you so much for bringing me on to your show and sharing your experience. I think that's really, really important.
It is so important. It's important that everybody find a Chad Hartman. And if you are on a job and you are with the majority, be a Chad Hartman. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Y'all know the story. I've told it right here on this station and anywhere that I'm chatting a million times. You know, the story of how right here at our good neighbor station, Chad Hartman was an advocate for me to have my own show, to be paid what I was worth, and having that white coworker go into the offices of the bosses who were here at the time and speak up for me on my behalf made a difference in my career. I may actually still have been an overnight weekend producer working 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. on the weekends and filling in from time to time had he not spoken up and spoken out for me. So, you know, being on vacation, I'm hanging out, reflecting on the year and, you know, thinking about friends and family and folks like Chad Hartman who have, you know, absolutely been a blessing and changed my life. And I'm looking at my cousin Demetria's Instagram feed. And she's got a report from a Harvard University professor that revealed that Black women working with majority teams face challenges with promotion and retention. It's a brand new report. It says Black women in white workplaces are more likely to be considered low performers, no matter how well we do. So I said, okay, wait a minute. See, I've got to figure out how I can get this Harvard University professor to come on here and talk about this brand new study. So you know what I did? I called Harvard University, and I have Dr. Elizabeth Linos joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Linos, thank you so much for taking the time during a holiday weekend to be a part of my show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Shaletta. It's a pleasure.
And it was a pleasure to chat with you by phone after we exchanged emails back and forth. This study is fascinating. Talk to us about this new report that suggests that Black women are more likely to face significant challenges when working with mostly white teams.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Shaletta. So this is a new study that I've co-authored with two other professors, Dr. Sanaz Mobasseri at BU and Dr. Nina Roussi at MIT. And essentially what we look at are the experiences of over 9,000 new hires in a high-wage elite firm. And we look at how kind of careers and experiences at work are different by race and gender. And we find a couple of things that I think are important to document, even if they might not be surprising. First, we see a really large gap in turnover and promotion. So Black employees are 32% more likely to leave within the first 2 years, 26% less likely to be promoted on time than their white counterparts. And as you said, when we zoom in and look at kind of what's the effect of your coworkers on your career trajectories, we see this really important thing. Having more white coworkers early in your career increases the likelihood that you're going to leave if you are a Black woman and reduces the likelihood that you're going to get promoted. The more white coworkers you have early on, the worse the outcomes when it comes to retention and promotion at that specific firm.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry. My internet cut out a bit. I'm in my family's RV broadcasting from Houston. But, you know, one of the things that fascinated me most about this study is that, you know, you analyzed this from 2014 to 2020. So this is not something, Dr. Linos, that you all went and talked to a few people and made your conclusion. You all have been studying this for some time.
That's exactly right. Even just to get the data and analyze it. And we did, you know, a lot of qualitative interviews as well with employees of color and white employees in the firm. You know, the process to get to even this point to document these facts, you know, has taken already around 4 to 5 years. And you're right that we're following people over time. So we're looking at people who started earlier in their career, and then we can see, you know, what happens 2 years later, what happens at first promotion, what happens at second promotion. So we can really look at the long-term consequences of what happens early in someone's career.
Now, when you compile this data, what surprised you the most?
Oh, that's such a great question. I guess the size of these gaps and the size of the effects, I think, surprised me the most. So, you know, we all know that racism and sexism still exists in America. We know that workplaces haven't fixed the problems of this country. And we also know that Black women face this double disadvantage, both because of their race and gender. But it was really striking to look at just the numbers. So, you know, a 32% higher likelihood of leaving, promotion rates that are much lower, even at firms that are, you know, trying their best to diversify. To me, those effects, those numbers, make me feel like there's so much more work to be done to change the behavior of white people in those firms, as opposed to just thinking this is, you know, a recruitment challenge or a pipeline problem. It's something that's happening in the workplace that needs to change.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, what does need to change? I need to figure out what your thoughts are going forward. And also, I want to hear about the feedback that you are getting since this report was released. Because not only do we have folks sharing it on social media and commenting on it, major publications like Essence Magazine and so many others have also put out stories on it. So it is making the rounds. People are talking about it. So we are going to continue to talk to Dr. Elizabeth Linos from Harvard University when we come back. It is 12:49. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. And there is a new report that suggests Black women are more likely to face significant challenges when working with mostly white teams. This did not come from me, honey. This came from Harvard School a working paper released in November, just last month. This study went on from 2014 to 2020. So we are going to hear from Dr. Elizabeth Linos. She is the Harvard professor that is working on this study. She has the results. She is working on this paper. And I really want to hear, when you put this out, what has been the feedback?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the feedback has been mixed, I should say. Depends, you know, who the audience is. When we first started putting out, you know, the analysis, we got a lot of pushback. Like, are you sure? Those numbers look big. Like, maybe it's something else. But, you know, we've really been thoughtful in the paper of analyzing the data really well, showing no matter what model you use, no matter what variables you add, the main effect still stands. And so it's a real finding. It's a true finding. So by the time we put out the paper, the feedback shifted a little bit. One thing that I'm really proud of is the way that people have shared this organically in social media and in other ways, like your cousin that you mentioned. And we've gotten a lot of really positive comments, especially from Black women, that say, thank you for putting numbers behind what we already knew. So it's not necessarily a surprising finding for Black women in the workplace. A lot of this resonates because it's something that they've experienced. But there's some value, I think, in having a rigorous study with specific numbers behind it that someone can point to and say, this isn't a little microaggression. This isn't in my mind. This is a real finding. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to contribute to that conversation. And as you mentioned before the break, we're also very fortunate that kind of media outlets have also shared this quite widely. So we're really lucky to have that as well.
And this is the thing. This is something Black women have been saying for generations. This isn't something new to us. You know, everybody's clutching pearls and they're, you know, just so shocked that these numbers are so lopsided and they want to question your findings. But, you know, if anybody has a Black girlfriend in corporate America, this is something she's been telling you for years. This is something you know. This is something that you should have been standing up for. You know, I tell the story all the time. Is I don't know where my career would be without a Chad Hartman who saw the inequity, not just in opportunity, but pay, and said, this isn't right. I had the same experience with Brian Lambert when I was over at another radio station, and he was my co-host, and we were doing the same job. And he wanted to know why he had more benefits than I had and spoke up about it. But if people are quiet and they sit in these boardrooms and they sit in these workplaces and workspaces and say nothing when they know Black women are being paid less, are being passed over for promotions, are being unfairly categorized as low performers, and they just turn a blind eye to it and say, it's not my problem, then guess what? This study is going to be exactly the same, Dr. Linos, when my 10-year-old daughter Cameron enters the workplace.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So where do we go from here? You know, we can't turn away from it. It is a Harvard study. It was conducted over a span of years. You have a doctor in front of your name. You are a PhD. So they're not hearing it from Shaletta Brundage with her little old degree from University of Houston in mass communications. They're hearing this information from you, Dr. Linos. So where do we go from here? I know your findings are calling for more research. What's next?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, as you said, this is kind of a starting point for a lot more work that needs to be done. Just documenting the problem isn't enough. It's a starting point. And, you know, one thing that you already alluded to with some of your coworkers is, I think, where we need to go next. So a lot of firms and companies have programs that are really focused on employees of color or Black employees in particular, you know, mentorship programs or networking programs. But what I think we should be doing instead is really focusing on the behavior of the majority group. So how do we change the behavior of white men and women in these firms so that you don't need to have some sort of special program? It's the behavior of the majority group that needs to change in order for some of these gaps to go away. So for me and for my research team, the next step is really rigorously testing different ways of making sure that both managers and white coworkers understand their role and their responsibility in changing what the workplace looks like, not only for Black women, but for Black men as well, and for other employees of color. And I'm hoping that if we continue to be data-driven in that approach and be evidence-based and continue to scientifically test what works and what doesn't work, we can make progress. But it's going to be hard, and we're still at the beginning of that process.
And I'm glad that we are taking a step forward. I'm so grateful that you are doing this research. You have put this data out and that you've made yourself available to chat with me on this show. If folks want to find this information, because I'm getting hit up from some people saying, where's this study? How can I find it? I want to share this. One of the people on my podcasting network, Lambert Fisher, hosts the Diversity Dude podcast. And so he delves into these type of issues each and every week. So he is pinging me like I'm not live on the radio. Like I don't have a job right now that I'm trying to do. He's trying to get the study so he can print it out and go over with a fine tooth comb to discuss it on his show. So how can people find this information?
Yeah, well, that's very kind of you to say. There's a couple different ways. As you know, my email is always available. The study itself has been published as a working paper by the Harvard Kennedy School. So if you go to any Harvard Kennedy School social media or my social media, you should be able to find it. But as you know, I'm always available and excited to talk about research. The only reason research matters is if it's making a difference in people's lives. So it's an honor and a privilege to be able to have this opportunity to talk about it.
Well, you have blessed us. We are breathing a sigh of relief. Black women all over social media are sharing this, and we are feeling seen and heard and validated. And so I want to, if nobody else says it, I want to thank you on behalf of us for the work that you have done.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you. And thank you so much for bringing me on to your show and sharing your experience. I think that's really, really important.
It is so important. It's important that everybody find a Chad Hartman. And if you are on a job and you are with the majority, be a Chad Hartman. We'll be right back.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.